Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good. I'm excited to be here, excited to have the opportunity to share God's Word with you. But not only that, I'm really excited about this new series we're in. I guess it's not new at this point. We've been in it for a couple of weeks. Been talking about Joseph and the life that he lived. And we're kind of talking about getting to live our dream, live the dream that God has set out for us. Just to talk a little bit about what we've gone through with Joseph and in his life. First, we know that he was, very special as a boy in his father's eyes. He was pegged as the favorite child right off the bat. He also had dreams that he was able to interpret. He tells his brothers that, hey, guys, at some point, y'all are all going to bow down to me. Probably not the best move if you're a little brother, but he made that move. He says, hey, look, I had these dreams. They're crazy. Turns out he gets a coat of colors from his father because he is the favorite. And it irritates the brothers. They sell him into captivity. Once they do that, he goes on to become a Potiphar's slave, so to speak, and then becomes, honestly, the top dog in Potiphar's house. He's over all of the comings and goings in Potiphar's situation. Potiphar's wife actually comes at him in the wrong way and tempts him. He turns from it, but he still is wrongfully accused for doing something he shouldn't have done, and he ends up going to prison. We know last week Daniel talked about while he was in prison, he actually interpreted more dreams. And we left it off last week talking about the cupbearer and the baker. And at this point, Joseph has now interpreted dreams that came true to the cupbearer and the baker. And Pharaoh found out about it 2 years later. After poor old Joseph sits in prison for 2 years, he gets word that Pharaoh has called for him to come and be a part of what he's got going on and let him know what these dreams are about. Once he does that, he predicts that there's going to be 7 years of famine, and then 7 years of good reaping, and then 7 years of famine. And at this point in the story, we are actually 2 years into the famine. We're going to be going into Genesis 42 through 45. Now, 42, 43, and 44 are a pretty interesting part of the story. Basically, it starts out with Joseph's brothers. At this point, Joseph's brothers are back at home in Canaan with Jacob, their father. Joseph has been doing what he needed to do for Pharaoh. He is, you know, running Pharaoh's land. He is considered the lord of the land. Because of his predictions, Pharaoh trusted him, and he was able to take grain and store it for this famine, and now we're in the famine. And Joseph's father is talking to the brothers. So he basically says, guys, we're in this famine. We need you to go to Egypt. And they do go to Egypt. They meet with Joseph. He recognizes them. And he doesn't necessarily do anything at that point. He basically asks them some questions and sends them back to Jacob. And we go back I'm going to lead us into chapter 45 because that's where I'm going to really dig in today. They end up going to Jacob. Jacob sends them back. And we'll start with chapter 45. I want to go right on into it because there's quite a bit to cover. In Genesis 45, we'll start with 1. We're going to go through 15. And this is some really awesome truths that we're learning about Joseph and his life and how God is helping him to live the dream. But there's a part of it that I feel like we sometimes miss in the story. So this is where we're going to start with chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So at this point, the brothers have come there for the second time. Joseph has been holding in that, hey, y'all are my brothers. He hasn't let them know, but he can't hold it in anymore. He says, "Everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. I would be terrified at his presence as well. These are the same brothers that earlier in the story we learned plotted to kill him originally because of the fact that he was the father's favorite. They end up selling him into captivity. And there's a lot of back and forth with these brothers on what they should do with Joseph as a child. But basically, they turned on him. They got rid of him. So I would be terrified as well. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, the Lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.'" This is where it really gets kind of interesting. "Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him." What a story about forgiveness. Joseph, who at this point is a powerful person, at the end of the day, Joseph's not doing bad, but think about all the hurt that he must feel at this point. His brothers come to him and now they're asking him for food. Basically, 42 through 44, they come to him and they go, "We need food. We don't have a harvest back in Canaan." And he's over all of this and he's just so excited to see his brothers. And he forgives them. Now, I think about forgiveness, and the reality is we don't see a lot of forgiveness in our world. And I think about all of the things going on, and you know, this is a touchy subject, but the evil in the world that goes on. The shootings. I'm sure everyone at this point has heard about shootings just yesterday, and I hate to even use political agendas while I'm teaching on anything that has to do with Scripture, but there's so many things that, you know, are going on in our world that are hurtful and make us angry, make us resentful, and make us sad. And we don't forgive people very quickly. And I think about a story with, you know, forgiveness. There is a, you know, me and my wife have been married a few years now. When we first married, I was basically a bachelor. So I had no decorations in my house. And when we got married, poor Jamie needed to decorate the house. So we started doing some antiquing. Which I'm sure you guys can respect and like that. Excuse me just a minute. So we go to these antique stores, and anytime you go into these antique stores, for us at the time, we were both single parents, so we had children, young children, when we got married. We start going to do these shopping experiments, is what I like to call them, not an experience, or it could be an experience. It was a little scary. So we go into these shops and you always walk in, and for whatever reason at an antique store, my opinion is all of the breakables are in the front of the store. So you see all these little nice porcelain trinkets and these little glass plates and whatever else there is. China, you know, and it's always on glass shelves. So we go into these stores, and the first reaction for me and Jamie is, kids, don't touch anything. Do not put your hands on a thing, put your hands behind your back, or put your hands in your pocket. We still do that today when we go into stores. We still tell them, hey, put your hands behind your back, don't touch anything. So, reason being, we were always nervous to break something else, because the reality is most of the time the signs on those doors are, hey, if you break it, you buy it. We don't want to buy things, even if it's a cheap little product. It's not even that much money. I don't want to spend my $3 on a broken piece of pottery. So we'd always think that way. And obviously that's the sign that we are being given in our world, is when you break something, you're going to pay for it. Same thing goes for our emotions, our feelings. When we hurt someone, the initial reaction that they have is, you're going to pay for this. But likewise, if someone hurts us or does something to wrong us, our first reaction is, you're going to pay for this. And it reminds me of another story that's similar to this. And, you know, I think about these little, what are they? The little homes. Best example I can give you, my stepmother used to make a little Christmas village for the holidays. And this Christmas village was not touchable. We were not allowed to touch it. We were barely even allowed to look at it. It was very fun to look at, though, because it was pretty and it had all the little, lights. And she put her little snowflakes and a little white, you know, snow all around. It was a big village. And we didn't even eat dinner on a dining room table during those holidays because she took the entire dining room table. And it was her Christmas village for when people came over. It was the weirdest thing. But those little homes in this little village were all porcelain, and you know, there's all kinds of details. You see all the windows, you can see in the windows, and there's lights on them, and just intricate details on each of them. And I think about a store, the story that I want to share, this lady goes into a store that's very similar, and I don't even know the names of these stores. I don't shop there. Some of you ladies probably have one right in your head. You're like, oh yeah, such and such store. But it's the store where you go in, there's all these little pretty little houses and buildings and models, right? And you go in, this lady goes into the store and she's looking, she sees this little thing that she likes, wants to look at. She starts to lean in, and as she does, she hears a voice from across the room. And the voice says, hey, please pick it up and touch it if you'd like. We'll hold true to our store policy. And she looked over at the sign and it says, if you break it, please let us know so we can forgive you. And she kind of chuckled and she goes, that's a great store policy. That's a great way to do business. And she goes, well, honestly, it hasn't helped as far as what's been broken. We still have things broken all the time. But it gives people relaxation and a joy. They can enjoy the things that they want to look at. And honestly, it makes it a little easier for us. We don't have to worry about it. You know, we're going to forgive you. Isn't it nice to know that we have that same thing in God? With the topic of forgiveness, you know, God has that same sign in His store. You know, if we were to go into God's store, what would it say? Would it say, hey, if you break it, you buy it? Or would it say more along the lines of, hey, if you break something, come and find me. Come talk to me so that I can forgive you. That's going to be my first point of the day, that, you know, when you do break something, God wants you to come to Him. Joseph knew a lot more about God than I think any of us can really respect. Because Joseph knew going in, I need to forgive my brothers, because he was in touch and he had a plan. He knew that God was working in his life. And, you know, I think about that sign that God has. God has a sign, and that sign is Calvary. He put a sign up 2,000 years ago for us to wipe away those sins and forgive us of all of them when He put Jesus on the cross. And Jesus, jumping forward into the New Testament, when we go into the book of Matthew, and I don't know that I did give this to them to put on the screen, but in Matthew, Jesus is teaching us about how to pray. And He teaches us a few different things. It's in Matthew 6, and this is, the prayer we've all heard over and over. It's the Lord's prayers. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. And we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But here's where 14 gets really great. Verse 14 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So we know that God has put that sign up for us. He's saying, hey, if you break something, if you are hurt, or if someone hurts you, you can come to me and I'll want to forgive. I want to move on. But Jesus is saying that furthermore, for us to be able to receive that, we have to be willing to forgive. It makes me think of the trash story. I have a story about trash. So when you're taking your trash out each week, you know, every week we know that the trash man is going to come. Now, if we have a bunch of bags of trash, we put them out in our garage, and we know that he's coming, obviously, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to take the trash out, put it in the dumpster so that they can take it away. Now, basically, if you're willing to understand what Jesus is saying here, he's saying take out the trash. If we were to choose not to take that trash out, say we piled it up in the garage. I know for us, we're on a third floor apartment right now, which is interesting. It's a long walk downstairs with trash. I don't like to do it. I do it a lot. But what we do is, obviously, you get a bag and somebody takes it to the front door for Daddy. So Daddy gets to take the trash and, you know, I can go and toss it on the car and drive it over to the dumpster and get rid of it. What if we were to choose not to get rid of that trash? Basically, Jesus is telling us, hey, get rid of your trash. Take it out. It would be silly of us to hold on to that trash. Furthermore, one of the reasons is we can't receive the blessing. In order for us to forgive, we have to... Or in order for us to be forgiven, we have to forgive. But it's because we can't receive with our hands full. Jamie, can I borrow you for a minute? I've got a little illustration I want to share with you because this is the best way for me to really talk about kind of what Jesus is saying here. And, you know, when we are in these situations, like Joseph was in a situation where he was hurt, he was angry. I don't know that he was jealous because I think he had the better end of the deal being, you know, that he's in a place of power and, you know, he's eating well, his family's coming to him. But think about all the things in your life, all the situations that you're holding on to things, whether it be anger, whether it be, jealousy, whether it be resentment, whatever it could be. There's all kinds of things that we all are holding on to in this room. And these balls are going to be an example of this. I got jealousy. I got sadness. That might be one. Hurt, bitterness, anger. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to have Jamie put one in each hand. And she's going to clench those. Her hands are clenched onto those balls. Come here. Just come over this way a little bit. So if her hands are clenched around all of those things and we're holding too tightly to the things of the past that may have hurt us, it's going to be pretty hard for us to receive the gifts that God is trying to provide us. What I'm going to do, this is actually God's blessings. I have blessings, happiness, life, joy. The things that God is trying to bless us with, forgiveness is what will bring those things. And Jamie, I'm going to have you just try to catch this ball while clenching those. Exactly. So she's a great example. She didn't even try to catch it. She knew she couldn't do anything with her hands. Thank you. That's good. Y'all give it up for Jamie. That's my wife. And here's the funny thing. I've gotten up and talked to different crowds a few times. She has never actually been in the room, I think. That's what she said this morning. So this is kind of a cool opportunity for her. And I get to embarrass her and pull her up here. So the point being, Jesus is telling us that, hey, in order for you to receive what I'm trying to give you, you have to let go of those things. God can't bless us if our hands are full. He's not able to, because we hold things in our heart, and when we have all those things inside of us, it's impossible for us to receive what He's trying to give us. Going back to Joseph, he had every reason to have hurt and anger towards his brothers. Wouldn't you agree? I think he had every right. I mean, guys sold into captivity. And he ends up going and being wrongfully accused by Potiphar's wife. It's pretty upsetting. And this all started because of his brothers. Now, all the situations in your life, all the things that you are holding on to, you could probably give us a long list. Wouldn't you agree that Joseph had just as good of a list of reasons to hold on to things? But here's the crazy thing about it. Joseph was focused on what he knew God's purpose was. God had a purpose for him. God had a plan for him. And he continued to be blessed by understanding that, hey, I know God has something for me that's better. Starting from the time he was a child and he interpreted the dreams of being a stalk and the other stalks bowing down to him. We talked about that when we began the series. Joseph knew there was something better for him, and he continued to push forward and he continued to trust in God. One thing that I think I know based on this word is that by making those decisions, by him forgiving his brothers, it led him to be able to trust in God's plan. That forgiveness shows his trust. When we are willing to open our hands up and let out the things that are in our hands, are in our hearts, for instance, we're able to receive the blessing God has for us. In this series, we're talking about living the dream, and we all have something on our heart that we want to do. We want to live it out. Maybe it's, you know, I want a new promotion. I want a cool car, whatever it is. There's all kinds of things. And there's also a purpose that he has for us. God has an intention for every single person in this room. And, you know, it could be that you lead one person to Christ. Maybe that was his purpose all along. You might spend 80 years on this planet, hopefully longer if you want to, I don't know. But you may spend all this time on the planet, and that one person was the reason that God had you here. He has a plan that's bigger than us and bigger than anything we could ever imagine. For us to be able to live that dream, we have to be able to trust in his plan. And forgiveness is one of the very first steps. And that might mean you have to forgive that old family member that did you wrong 10 years ago. You may have to forgive that coworker. You may have to forgive your spouse, your child. You might just need to let go of the anger and resentment that you have towards life. It may not be a specific person, but there are things in our lives that we are holding on to, and they're holding us back from receiving the plan that God has for us. By having that forgiveness and letting those things go and unclenching the fist, if my hands are clenched, I can't receive anything. Not only that, if I have my finger pointed at you because of the wrongs that you've done, my hand can't receive. It's the same with our heart. When our heart is outward focused towards other people in a negative manner, and we're holding things that we, yeah, that person did this, this business did that, whatever it is. When we do that, we're not able to receive that blessing. But by letting it go, we can trust that he's going to follow through on his promise. And Joseph is living proof of that. What he ends up going into immediately when his brothers come is forgiveness. And he knows that that forgiveness is because he's trusting in God's plan. We aren't able to be used for our dream until we're able to forgive. If you want to be able to live the dream that God has for you, if you want to live his purpose, if you want him to bless you, you have to start making the right steps. And I'm just as guilty, and I always am the first to say when I get in front of any group of people and I'm talking to at all, because I'm the first one that goes, I'm a dummy, I make mistakes, and I do. I'm the first one that needs to hear this message that, hey, there's things in my life, in Jordan's life, that I'm holding on to, and I've got to let it go in order for me to understand what God's plan is for me and what his purpose is for me. And Joseph was a living example of that. And everything that Joseph did, he's continually being blessed because he knows what God's calling him to. Even if we don't know what it is, we know God's called us to something greater. And God can't use us for that dream until we do forgive. That's what's going to get us to the next step. And here's the thing. We may have different situations in our life that we don't know where we're going. We don't know what our dream is. But holding on to all those things, Stefan, you can actually step back up too. Holding on to all of those things are what's going to hold us back from being able to understand his purpose for us, to be able to gain the blessings he wants to give us. And I'm sure there are people in this room that understand those things, but there are also some who don't. And Jesus died on the cross for us. God sent that sign to us, and God has a sign out right now saying, hey, if you break it, let me know so that I can forgive you. Let him forgive you. But in order for him to forgive you, you're going to have to forgive others. You're going to have to start making your moves. And if you don't know what the next steps are in that process, if you don't know what you need to do, then please let us know. We want to help you. We want to partner with you to be able to make those decisions and get yourself into living his purpose and living the dream that he has planned for you. And it starts with a simple move of forgiveness, being able to let go of all of your hurt, your pain, your anger, whatever it may be. I'm going to pray us out today, and the band's going to finish up with worship. But I want us to pray that, church. I want us to think about what we can do as individuals. What things are we holding on to that are keeping us from being able to receive all the blessings that he has for us? Father God, I just want to thank you for giving us all the wonderful opportunities you've given us, God. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. Thank you for forgiveness, God. And I want to lift this church up, and I just ask that all of us lean in onto your understanding, God, to know what you have for us, to know that there is a dream and a purpose that's bigger than ours, God. And God, I just pray that this church will let go of anything that may be holding you back, holding us back from you, and holding you from being able to bless our lives and our hearts, God. I just pray that over this church. I pray that we go out into the world this week, into our work environments, into our schools, into our daily lives, God, and that we keep this in mind, that we need to make sure that we are forgiving others so that we can receive the full forgiveness that you would have for us. In your name, we pray, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.